Cross of St. George, written by Alexander Kent and read by Michael Jaston.
Chapter 1. Sword of Honour. The Royal Dockyard at Portsmouth, usually a place of noise and constant movement, was as quiet as the grave. It had been snowing steadily for 2 days, and the buildings, workshops, piles of timber and ship's stores, which made up the clutter in every big yard, had become only meaningless shapes. And it was still snowing. Even the familiar smells had been overwhelmed by the white blanket. The sharp tang of paint and tar, hemp and new sawdust, like the sounds, seemed smothered and distorted. And, muffled by the snow, the echoing report of the court-martial gun had gone almost unnoticed. Set apart from the other buildings, the Port Admiral's house and offices were even more isolated than usual. From one of the tall windows which overlooked a nearby dock, it was not even possible to see the water in the harbour. Captain Adam Bolitho wiped the damp glass and stared down at a solitary Royal Marine, whose scarlet tunic was a sharp contrast to the blinding whiteness of the backdrop. It was early afternoon. It could have been sunset. He saw his reflection in the window, and the light of the blazing log fire on the other side of the room, where his companion, a nervous lieutenant, sat perched on the edge of his chair with his hands held out to the flames. At any other time, Adam Bolitho could have felt sorry for him. It was never an easy or a welcome duty to be the companion. His mouth tightened. The escort for someone awaiting the convenience of a court-martial. Even though everyone had assured him that the verdict would be unquestionably in his favour. They had convened this morning in a spacious hall adjoining the Admiral's house, a place more usually the venue of receptions than a courtroom, where a man's future, even his life, could be decided. Grotesquely, there had even been a few traces of the Christmas ball, which had been held there recently. Adam stared at the snow. Now it was another year. January the 3rd, 1813. After what he had endured, he might have imagined that he would have grasped at a new beginning like a drowning man seizing a lifeline, but he could not. All he loved and cared for lay in 1812, with so many broken memories. He sensed the lieutenant shifting in his chair, and was aware of movement elsewhere. The court was reassembling. After a damned good meal, he thought. Obviously one of the reasons for holding the proceedings here, rather than force the court to endure the discomfort of a long pull in an open boat to the flagship, somewhere out there in the snow at Spithead. He touched his side, where the iron splinter had smashed him down. He had believed he was dying. At times he had even wanted to die. Weeks and months had passed, and yet it was hard to accept that it was less than 7 months since he had been wounded, and his beloved anemone had been surrendered to the enemy, overwhelmed by the massive artillery of the USS Unity. Even now the memories were blurred. The agony of the wound, the suffering of his spirit, unable to accept that he was a prisoner of war, without a ship, without hope, someone who would soon be forgotten. He felt little pain now. Even one of the fleet surgeons had praised the skill of Unity's French surgeon, and other doctors who had done what they could for him during his captivity. He had escaped. Many had barely known had risked everything to hasten his freedom, and some had died for it. And there were others, who could never be repaid for what they had done for him. The lieutenant said hoarsely,
"I think they've returned, sir."
Adam acknowledged it. The man was afraid. Of me? Of having become too intimate if it goes against me? His frigate, Anemone, had turned to face a vastly superior enemy, outgunned and outmanned, with many of his company sent away as prize crews. He had not acted out of arrogance or reckless pride, but to save the convoy of 3 heavily laden merchantmen he had been escorting to the Bermudas. Anemone's challenge had given the convoy time to escape, to find safety when darkness came. He remembered Unity's impressive commander, Nathan Beer, who had had him moved to his own quarters and had come to visit him as he was treated by the surgeon.